Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. We will begin with Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And today's verse is text 202. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Gopakumar Uvacha Pristam Mayedam Bhagavandara Tale Tishtantiya Shri Patima Mahapabho Ta Satchirananda Ganastvaya Mata Nilajinata Purushottamayata. Translation. Shri Gopakumar said, I then asked, My Lord, divine deity forms of the Supreme Godhead, like Lord Purushottama, the master of Niladri, are present on earth, and you consider them embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Commentary. Gopakumar is very much attracted to Archana, the devotional process of deity worship. He has enjoyed the benefits of Archana in Jagannath Puri and on several higher planets in the universe. He has also heard about the glories of this process from various authoritative scriptures. Narada, however, has created a doubt in Gopakumar by telling him that the deities of the Supreme Lord are just another kind of incarnation, indistinguishable from other avatars. Earlier in this chapter, texts 155 and 157, Narada said, Ye katukaccha pratima svarupa te satchirananda ganahi sarve Nanatva bhajopi sadaika rupa. There are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities. Each of these forms of the Lord has its own activities and names, yet all of them are full in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety in substance, they are eternally one and the same. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gauravakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. I'll read the verse one more time. Shri Gopakumar said, I then asked, My Lord, divine deity forms of the Supreme Godhead like Lord Purushottama, the master of Niladri are present on earth, and you consider them embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We have been reading throughout a good part of this chapter how the Lord expands himself in his various abodes, how his potencies accompany him in those various abodes, such as Lakshmi and other consorts, wherever the Lord appears. And as explained in this commentary, the discussion between Narada Muni and Gopa Kumar in this chapter has already touched upon his appearance in the form of deities. And reference was given at that time to the Lord's manifestation on the earthly planet in these transcendental deity forms. And the quote that is given here in the purport today, it is stated, "There are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities. Each of these forms of the Lord has its own activities and names, yet all of them are full in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety and substance, they are eternally one and the same." When I read this verse, I began thinking about Gopa Kumara's first encounters after he had received the mantra from his spiritual master. He was told that by his spiritual master, "I am giving you a mantra from the Lord of the universe." That was how it was presented to him. So, right from the time the mantra was given to him, Gopamar was given a conception of the Lord of the universe, and he was waiting to see who that Lord of the universe was. Of course, he understood that he was given the mantra from the Lord of the universe, and by chanting that mantra, experiencing purification by chanting the mantra, by placing faith in the mantra as it had been initially given to him and from the personality who gave it to him, he anticipated that this mantra will give me the opportunity to meet this Lord of the universe who gave me the mantra. Because, as we remember, that it was introduced to him this way. This is from the Lord of the universe. So, right from the very beginning, Gopa Kumara, in his very first encounter, which Sanatana Goswami presented, he met who he thought was the Lord of the universe. It was, I guess you could take it, it seemed like a casual meeting. It was a Brahmin who was worshiping a Shalagram Shila. And the Brahmin, we've talked about this before. Actually, when I was thinking about this, considering all that we've talked about in the last several months, it really shed light for me. I was hoping it would shed light for you also. But it really shed light for me on Gopakumar's initial encounter with the Lord of the Universe. And whereas I had previously read it as a part of the story of, and I really didn't pay enough attention to the detail as I paid after hearing all these wonderful descriptions of the Lord's Satchitananda forms manifested everywhere, and everywhere. There was no especially, I guess we could say, especially as his manifestation in Goloka and in Gokul. Especially Gokul, because wherever Gopakumara went, whether it was Jagannath Puri, where he met Lord Purushottam, Svargaloka, or the higher planetary systems, he was always, his mind was going back, you know, to his encounters with Lord Purushottama. And then even with Lord Purushottama, he was thinking about how nice it was in Mathura as a cowherd boy and how simple it was. And of course, his first meeting with the Lord of the Universe in Mathura, where he was a cowherd boy, was Gopal Mantra. That was his first meeting in Mathura from his spiritual master, who told him, this is from the Lord of the Universe. So Mathura had a very, very, very particular attractive, was particularly attractive to him, both for the reasons that his simple life as a cowherd boy, his herding of the cows, his playing of the flute, and his meeting of Gopal took place there in the form of a Gopal mantra. And therefore he was going back wherever he was visiting it and seeing the Lord of the Universe in it. In his mind, there were certain stimulants that happened to him in the various places he went, which made him hanker for these places once again. Again, places. We've talked a lot about places. Places, these places are where, you know, the Lord is present with the devotees who serve him in their various particular moods of service. And one of those places he encountered, well, the first was the Brahmin, his mood. The Brahmin, his mood was, I worship the Lord. What happened was Gopakumara came and saw the Brahmins worshiping the Shalagram Shila. And then he saw the Brahmin put Shalagram in a very humble, pure way, in a box. And Gopakumar was shocked that, hey, this is the Lord of the Universe. Why'd you put him in a box? And has he eaten yet? And these were thoughts that came to his mind, you know. This was his first meeting after receiving this gift from the Lord of the Universe, and he thought, well, this is the Lord of the Universe, and why have you put him in the box? And the Brahmin who was worshiping him sort of like explained to him that he lives in poverty and he can only feed him when he has a meal for himself and he feeds him first. And it's at that particular point, the impression the reader gets is that it's not an opulent feast, and neither is it regulated. It's pretty spontaneous. And but yet, Gopukumar was looking at the Lord of the Universe in the form of the Shalagram Shila, and was wondering why the Brahmin was worshipping him this way. And the Brahmin almost apologetically told Gopukumar, well, if you want to see the Lord worshipped more with greater opulence, then here in the kingdom, there is a king who worships a form of the Lord, Lord Vishnu, with great opulence and with pomp and with many of the servants are there. And he recommended, why don't you go there and see the Lord who's manifest there? Again, reflecting on everything that we've been speaking about, I understood this was not simply a chance encounter. It was Gopukumara's next meeting with the Lord of the Universe. And I wanted to read some of those verses, because those verses we've never read together. We just, as I've explained many times, we started in chapter 3, and we really didn't start this whole journey right from the beginning when Gopukumara began his journey, although we've referred to it on many different occasions. But we didn't really talk about his encounters both with Lord Vishnu and worship there, and Lord Purushottama and his encounters there, and what happened to him there. And as I said, by reading these verses, and with my increased awareness of the Lord's presence in a form which is Satchidananda, and who's reciprocating in a particular place with the mood of his servants in a playful way, just as it's described in this chapter, there are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities in a playful way. It really enhanced for me to go back and read these verses with a different frame of reference than I had when I read the verses without all of this meditation, I guess you could call it, about how the Lord manifests himself everywhere and manifests his potencies everywhere. And those who have spiritual vision should be able to realize the presence of the Lord, because he's there in a Satchidananda form to make himself accessible to those who worship him in that form. And that's what all this is, sort of like also an introduction to the verses which will be soon coming, because we're going to read many verses now, because we're just in the area of discussing archana, deity worship. And Narada Muni, who is an authority on archana, is going to explain to Gopukumar that how the Lord manifests himself in an eternal Satchidananda form to those who worship him in the right consciousness. Right consciousness. This is very much detailed what the right consciousness is, because he even makes the point, and I mentioned this in last class, he makes the point that the Lord will manifest himself in many forms. There's the deity form, and we spoke about in the last class, which we'll read about in more detail, how the deity form manifests. But he even says, even a blade in a blade of grass, or even in, he even says, even in a concocted form, which may sound, it may sound astonishing. How would he manifest it in a concocted form? But he explains that if the worshiper fully sees by dint of his devotion, the Lord manifest in his object of worship, by the purity of his worship and his consciousness, the Lord will reciprocate and manifest himself in a form just suitable for the worshiper, because he's everywhere in these forms and in his potencies. So all and this is, of course, the topic which we've been covering quite extensively, this simultaneous, inconceivable simultaneous of oneness and difference. Now, of course, this is in no way suggesting, no way, and nobody please should take it this way, that we can minimize the authorized forms and then take this as a justification to begin worship in a concocted form, of a concocted form. There's a certain consciousness required for the Lord to fully reciprocate in that way. And Narada Muni is also going to bring that to light. And he's even also going to bring to light what happens to those who worship an authorized form in the wrong consciousness. So he makes the point very clear. It's the consciousness and the presence of the Lord in one's consciousness which enhances the worship and of seeing the object being worshipped as non-different from the Lord. These are future verses. I'm not going to enter into discussion of the future verses. As we've many times said, there's more to come. And they will come in future verses. But for now, I wanted to read some of the verses about Gopakumara's encounter with these playful forms of the deity and their worshippers, which he met before he even left the earthly planet, and by the chanting of his mantra decided to go to Swargaloka by meditating on going to that place. So I'm going to read some verses, and I'll read as many verses as I can get through. I'm okay. Right now I'm okay. So please, nobody throw up your sign and say it's been such and such minute. I'm okay right now. In fact, I even find giving classes helps. And that's why I'm so insistent on not stopping. So thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And so I would like to read some verses. And we talked about Shalagram Shila, and then we talked about the Brahmin who said, why don't you go see Lord Vishnu and see how he eats there? I know you're a little disappointed with my unregulated offerings and what to speak of, that the Lord's lifestyle, which is spent in a box sometimes. Of course, Sanatana Goswami brings out the point in a commentary on that particular point where he says that Gopakumar didn't fully understand at the time that the Lord is manifest in unlimited places. And even though in that particular place he was in a box, he was still eating very nicely in other places. And he was the same in all of those forms. So he shouldn't have been disturbed by the fact that the Lord wasn't eating. But of course, the worshiper should be disturbed if he continuously puts the Lord in a box and doesn't have to. And should be disturbed if he doesn't feed him appropriately when he can. So, something to be learned. Something to be learned from that encounter. And of course, we have the story of Sanatana Goswami himself, who could only offer to his deity, who happened to be Madan Gopal, who can only offer uncooked roti. And when the Lord asked him, could you at least give me some salt? and he said, this is what I have to offer. Please forgive me. And of course, we know the Lord accepted his offering. But then he arranged for a whole boatload of salt. So the Lord works in mysterious ways. But nonetheless, wow. we have these verses. we have these verses here in the first chapter of this section. So he said, when Gopakumara asked the Brahmin, he said, who are you worshiping? Or what are you worshiping? And he said, don't you know this is the Lord of the universe? This is the Brahmin. Anyways, we already talked about the Brahmin, the box, and his offerings. And now we're going to speak about, he says, the Brahmin says to him, this is texts 138 and 139, if you want to read along with me, although I'm not going to read everything, I'm also going to summarize. It said, if you're eager to see the Lord's opulence and great festival of his worship, please go to the capital city of this country's very saintly ruler. He is attached to the worship of Lord Vishnu in great love. You will find his city not far away, and there you can behold the Lord of the universe, who is so difficult to see. You will feel great ecstasy, fulfilling all your heart's desires. But for now, please come have lunch in my house from the remnants of what has been offered to the Lord Vishnu. As it turned out, Gopakumara was, even though he was hungry, he turned down the invitation. Because he was eager. Eagerness had already was already fixed in his heart. Everywhere he went and each encounter he was to have was always born of a great eagerness, an intensity of a desire to meet this Lord of the universe. It had already been awakened by his faithful chanting of his mantra. And by the mercy of his spiritual master, who gave him access, freely gave him access to this mantra. So he offered obeisances to the Brahmin, and didn't stop at his house, and immediately set out for the capital. Then learning that the Lord of the universe was being worshipped, Gopakumara says, I wanted to see him. As I approached, no one stopped me. So I quickly entered the temple, where in front of me I beheld the beautiful four-armed form of the Lord, his hands resplendent with a conch shell, disc, lotus, and club. And he describes the beauty of his body, his complexion, his features, his ornaments, his youthful appearance, and garlanded with forest flowers, and such a nectarian smile, eyes like lotuses. He was attracted. And then, of course, what did he think? As he thought already, this is the Lord of the universe. Saw many attendants attached to serving him, worshiping him with various items. He was on an opulent throne. It was from a distance he was watched. From distance he watched the dancing of entertainment, which was present before him. We already heard about how Lord Narayan had entertainment in Vaikuntha, right? Dancing, flute players, and other forms of entertainment as he was experiencing on his throne there in Vaikuntha. So his playful nature here in this deity form, where he was eternal Satchitananda form, who had his associates there. Of course, his associates there who were worshiping him, many in a mood of love and devotion. They were simply preparing themselves for Vaikuntha, which would be their next destination by dint of their worship, meditation, love, and desire and attraction to that particular place which the Lord has and eternally in Vaikuntha. So every sort of wonderful paraphernalia was being engaged there for his pleasure. Filled with supreme bliss, what did Gopakumara do? I repeatedly fell flat on the ground. Today, I thought, I have seen what I always wanted to see. Now my life is a success. I shall never go away from this place. And so, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I began to live there happily. But, as in every place, we've already seen in other places, same here, but certain circumstances that happened there influenced him in such a way that he felt discouraged. What did he feel discouraged about there? What he felt discouraged about there was that his prasadam didn't seem to be properly respected. And that was brought to light before I get to that point. He said, I would eat remnants of food offered to Lord Vishnu, witness the great festivals of his worship, and hear the glories of his worship and more, all while carefully chanting my mantra in private. Yet my heart, O Brahma, never forgot the beauty of this Vrajabhumi. And the joy of playing here is a cowherd. So already there, in Purushottam Kshetra, no, this was not Purushottam Kshetra, excuse me, this is a different place. Yes. he hasn't gotten to Purushottam Kshetra, and I don't think we're going to get to Purushottam Kshetra today. But he says that remaining thus for some days, I developed great eagerness to engage in that method of worship. Then what happened is that the king of that country was sonless. And despite my being a foreigner, he noted my good character, developed affection for me, and soon he adopted me, and then died. So what happens? He inherited the kingdom. Made even more elaborate worship for the Lord Vishnu. Every day, saintly persons were fed remnants of food from this worship. And maintaining his simplicity, he was always unattached to the royal opulence, as he always was everywhere he went, even in Vaikuntha, not attached to the opulence, attached to the simplicity. It was his inherent nature. Or as we spoke about before, also his naivety about the Lord's exalted, opulent position. It's just very simple. I was always unattached to royal opulence, and I just lived as I was living before, quietly chanting my mantra, and I ate only remnants of food left by the Lord as his mercy. Then what happens? He decided to divide the affairs of the kingdom. He handed them over to relatives and to entourage of the deceased king. And still he suffered in various ways due to his connection with the kingdom. And interesting commentary. To avoid being blamed for neglecting the kingdom while absorbed in private meditation, Gopakumar delegated the practical affairs of ruling to the previous king's friends, ministers, in-laws, and immediate family. He gave them the authority to make day-to-day decisions. Nonetheless, various anxieties connected with the kingdom continued to be thrust upon him. And so a crisis gradually arose. I'm smiling because I've been having frequent conversations with some of my GBC godbrothers. A little bit different, not kingdoms, but there are certain affairs which are being constantly thrust upon us. Which also gives us an impetus. Similar to Gopakumar. It's called the succession. So Gopakumar had his succession plan in place very quickly, every place he went. And he already thought about his succession plan at the first encounter of the I shouldn't say the first encounter, but a little bit being exposed to the encounters of the managing the affairs of the kingdom. So what does Sanatana Goswami say at the end of the commentary? He says, discriminating Vaishnavas may be better off uninvolved in the management of kingdoms. I'm going to remember that one. So what happened? Sometimes I feared neighboring kingdoms And other times, the emperor, having to obey his various and abundant commands, stifled my freedom. If the Supreme Lord's remnants were touched by an outsider or carried outside the temple, or if for any other reason a doubt arose about the purity of the remnants, no respectable person would eat them. So this was a little bit disturbing to him. He referred to them as darts shooting into his vital points. He said, it was just like darts shooting into my vital points. It made me want to give everything up. But I had no desire to leave the Lord, whom I had long hankered to see and whose personal contact I had now obtained. Just then, some venerable saints from the south arrived on pilgrimage and told me this. Now he's going to hear about Purushottam Kshetra. There are a lot more details of Purushottam Kshetra, about the method of worship, about the sevaks, their consciousness, about the Lord's prasad, and how the Lord's prasad was understood by everyone who accepted it, that under no circumstances could it ever be contaminated, the opulence of the worship, the king's relationship with the Lord, the concerns there were for the Lord's paraphernalia, for his temple, and the protective consciousness, which was manifest to those who were servants of the Lord. And then, of course, to Gopakumar's observations of all of these affairs. And then, of course, his encounter when he was made the king. So we'll get into these more of these details in the next class. And we'll try to get into also the details about things he heard from Narada Muni about the consciousness required for worshiping the Lord when he manifests in these playful ways, manifests his pastimes in these playful ways in his Satchitananda form as the deity. And it's very enlightening, relevant, purifying, and helpful to anybody who's adopted a method of deity seva. It really gives us a sense of understanding its importance, that it's non-different of worshiping the Lord when the consciousness is right. And the Lord's, as we've spoken before, we told the story, different stories of how the Lord reciprocates with those like Raghunandan Thakur. We told that story, and other stories we told of how the Lord reciprocates with those who worship the deity in the right consciousness. That it's an opportunity for some wonderful meditation, revelation, and increase of devotion, which is a reciprocation directly from the Lord, who's very kindly manifests himself in the deity for those who worship him in the right consciousness. And even Narada Muni will go on to explain a very important point. We'll get to it. It's coming up in future verses. That even those who don't have the right consciousness, if they go on worshiping, even in the wrong consciousness, gradually, although sometimes those who are eager to see the Lord worship in the right consciousness may become a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Restless. uneasy by seeing that worship. And still, even if the wrong consciousness is there, if one remains faithful to that worship, the right consciousness will come. Although, it may take time. It's not that one should abandon. But benefits are certainly there. And these will all come out both in the verses themselves and in the commentaries by Srila Sanatan Goswami, who has been wonderfully, these commentaries wonderfully presented by his very dear devotee, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, for our relishing on the pages of Bihad Bhagavatamrita. So I'm going to stop. I believe an announcement was made, and I'm happy that I was able to last this long, but somebody just blew the whistle. And it's time for me to stop. I won't stay with you, although I will say that in the other sessions that I have with the Russian-speaking devotees on Sundays and Wednesdays, the devotees expressed interest because they're in isolation. They expressed interest to stay on, and they found it helpful to chant japa in the association of others, because many of them are just sitting alone. And I believe that circumstances are such in many places where even it's becoming more serious in some places, such as here in Mayapur, which it was probably read to you today. So if there's an interest, I will give you the opportunity. If you want to stay and chant with others online, share realizations with others online, smile. you could whatever you want to do. I'll leave the session open. If any of you wish to chant japa together, you can stay and chant with others, but I will take your leave because I need to stand up, and probably I should even lie down for a little while. So thank you very much. I'll end here, and as I said, I don't think I'm anywhere near like I was last June when I had to take time off. Nothing like that. I believe a few days will set me right. And I'm going to just give shorter classes, at least for the next few days. So we'll end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Kr